everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. It's a little late. Saturn, get off my stuff. He's almost off it. Off we go. This is the weekly weather for last week and this week. Of course, it's delivered on Tuesday. And, of course, the planes now take off and go, yeah. It's a little crazy out there in the world, and it's a little crazy here in Ann Ortley's land. So we will cover this stuff from last week that you wanted to note. You already had it. You can look at it. And then we will look at this week's what's coming. It's a hard week in general. We're going to be working with some really intense energies. And last week was also. But remember what this is the birthing process. We're giving birth to our new life. It is a Mercury kind of week. You're going to get all sorts of information this week. Mercury's at the last degree of Pisces, and then he goes into Aries. So it's important to pay attention. And then on Sunday, we have a new moon in Pisces. And then we enter eclipse season. Yes, the eclipses are coming starting next Sunday. So it's intense. So I want you to hang in there. Ride. We'll go riding on the wild energy of the week. And we'll see what happens on the other end. Wave to you at the back end. Bye. So when we're looking at the week ahead, I'm going to cover some of the aspects from last week, which were the week of February 25th, and then I'm going to do, which you went through, so we're going to point out, like, pay attention to what happened on that day, because the Sun and Mercury and Saturn met up. We also had Venus and Mars in a square to Jupiter, which happens once a year. This week is a Mercury kind of week, lots of Mercury aspects. He's moving very quickly. And then we also have he enters Aries, where he is precise and definite, and he says things, and he means what he says. But before then, he gives you a lot of hints. Hint. And then we get into that new moon in Pisces at the end of the week. Once we hit that new moon in Pisces, we are in for eclipse season, which will then run the next 2 weeks to the full moon. 2 weeks between the full to the new, which is April 8th, which is that huge eclipse across the country, and then 2 weeks after April 8th till the next full moon. So it's a hard week. I mean, you know, some weeks are harder than others. So this week we are going to have a new moon webinar on Wednesday night. It'll be up on my website. I'll be sending a newsletter out to sign up. This is an important moon because it is sitting, the new moon is sitting on the Saturn-Neptune fail point, which is always the Saturn-Neptune midpoint is the weakest structure in your chart. So if you look at that Saturn-Neptune point, it's a failure. You know, planets hitting that make things fail, make things rupture, make things break. So that we're having that this week. So that's the rupture break, and then we go into the cray-cray of the eclipse season. Last year when we had eclipse season was Hamas forming. So this week, these are the aspects for the end of last week from the 25th on, the Mars square Jupiter. And then we had that little dance with Mercury, Saturn, and the Sun in Pisces kind of connecting. And then we had an annual aspect of Mercury talking to Jupiter in a positive way. Then now we're in March through March 10th. You can see how busy this week is. And we also have a lot of energy with Neptune and Mercury forming a lot of aspects. Mercury is talking to everybody. That's his job as the messenger, but it's also kind of shades of gray. So I got a text from somebody. There's a man in the building down here in Florida who went in the hospital. So I went to coffee this morning and somebody said, oh, he went to the hospital and, you know, he said he looked a little gray. And so I said to the guy who told me, he said, well, no, he didn't look, his color wasn't good. But his color wasn't good, he looked a little gray, right? It's that kind of thing where the story's going to shift. So if you can, go back to the original source. Don't believe what Mercury in Pisces is telling you. This is a failure energy. When I had a friend at Control Data, his wife wanted a divorce. And he didn't. He was working hard to keep the marriage to go together. And then she said to him, well, I only married you because my father hated you. And then he went, oh, okay, I'm done now. And that was the fail point. So we're going to watch for that this week. Now, the setup was last week, partially, because of the Mercury-Saturn-Sun. Also, Saturn is in a new part of the sky, right? He got as high as 7 last year. So he's in new territory. So he's waking up stuff. So when we look at last week, we had the Mercury square Pallas Athena, a new strategic approach, last Sunday, a week ago, on the 25th. And so Mercury said, now notice there's no fire in the sky, right? When there's no fire, the water and the air and the earth planets have mischief. They cause mischief. And so we're feeling that energy of Mercury going, oh, so what's the strategy here? How are we changing our strategy and approach? Last week we also had Mars and Venus squaring Jupiter. Mars squared Jupiter and said, oh, now I understand how this works. And Mars squared Jupiter is an excess energy that took place on Tuesday last week. So it was an excessive feel to it, but it was good. Not bad, not a bad square, but a moving forward. And then we had that day, well, a couple of days, that was Wednesday, Thursday, where Mercury met the Sun and said, gee, I'm combust. I'm seeing things really clearly. That was last Wednesday. And in my case, I scheduled tests. I had to have follow-up tests from my surgery in the fall. So I scheduled them on the Mercury combust the Sun, combust Saturn. I wanted the results to be good, and I wanted a clear answer, and the results looked to be good. I mean, I haven't talked to the doctor, but Dr. Ann, reading her MRI reports, I was like, oh, these are good results. So the Mercury Sun is combust, very tightly seeing things on that Wednesday, and then we also had Mercury and Saturn meeting up, which is a commitment, but it also is Mercury meets Saturn once a year. So it's a meeting of Mercury to Saturn in the place he hasn't been for 29 years. So it also was an unraveling or a recognition that maybe some things need to change. And then behind that, we had the Sun meet Saturn. Again, this happens once a year, but Saturn has not been at this degree of Pisces for 29 years. Now, the degrees suggest you go back to when you were 9 to 10 years old. That's fourth and fifth grade. Or you go back to when you were 40, 39 going into 40, or when you were 69 going into 70. There's a story that's active with this Sun, Mercury, Saturn. And it also has a commitment. In the world, you know, it was a busy week last week, lots of judges, lots of cases, lots of stuff shifting, ending, stepping down, Mitch McConnell, you know, Trump's case is going, Vonnie Willis in Georgia, lots and lots of stuff. Mercury, Sun, Saturn, like what actually is going on? We're delving, we're digging, we're trying to figure it out. We're not clear, but there is a grand trine that's inviting us to dig a little deeper. In Earth, everything is there, but we have to go in and see it. There's a kite that's forming with Saturn and Jupiter, Ceres and Juno. So it's a grand trine in Earth, and that kite's in place, and it's shooting towards Saturn and Pisces, which is saying, are we dissolving this, or are we moving it forward in a new way? What's our story? So you're going to watch for stories where things appear to dissolve, because that is what they're doing. Doesn't mean they're actually dissolving, but they're appearing to dissolve. Now, in some cases, this week, they actually collapse. So I'm expecting a big reservoir to collapse, or a dam, or a wall of water. You know, one time that we had an aspect like this, and it was the aquarium, I think it was in Berlin maybe, went down, you know, and there was this huge, all the fish died. Not that we want the fish to die, but it was, you know, it's a very literal collapse. That's this week. But last week was the setup for it. This week was the, you're hearing the creaking. You're hearing the cracking, you know, and whenever something collapses, people often go, yeah, there was this weird noise, or there was this settling, or there was this kind of shake, or there was a, I noticed a crack in the ceiling. Might be an earthquake, but if it's an earthquake, it breaks some water, and big water energy. Mercury then sextiles Jupiter. Now, Mercury is a busy guy. He's talking to everybody. He is in Pisces, and he is communicating with the world. He is moving very quickly right now in the last degrees of Pisces. So he is going to go around and gather information. And like I was saying about my neighbor who, okay, his color didn't look good, and then at the coffee hour he was gray. It can amplify, right? There was a thing on the internet that Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel both got fired by ABC. Well, I went, well, Stephen Colbert works for CBS, so why would ABC be firing him? Like, what? You know? So you want to kind of check the rumors. They're rumors. Doesn't mean there's not an underlying hint of truth in them. The guy went to the hospital and he didn't look good, but he wasn't gray. But that was the color that was assigned by the person who heard the story from the person who said he didn't look good, right? So his color wasn't good. There's an emphasis towards exaggeration, which means when you're talking to people, recognize they can fly off the handle too. There is no light in the sky. Notice there's no fire. People are just not seeing, there's no light. It's kind of like when you order, you know, when you do something by the, you know, and it's dark and it's a little gray and you're in a restaurant, you're trying to read the damn menu. There's no light. You know, like, what did I order? Oh my God, that had mushrooms in it. I hate mushrooms. I couldn't read the menu, right? And now we have cell phones. We can turn on our little flashlights. But you remember you used to hold the candle over it, try and read it? That's the energy. It's not clear communication. So, and people are not clear. They're very passive aggressive. They're very, I don't think it's really going to work out for me. And you're like, okay, so does that mean you're leaving? Like, not working out for you? Like, that's how you're doing it? And they're like, yeah, it's not working out for me. All right. And also, very sensitive. Very sensitive. A little aggressive. Looking for a place to fight. Looking for an authority to fight with. You're an authority, they're going to want to fight with you. You're not an authority, you might be in the mood to fight with an authority. Saturn Pisces, who's the real authority here? And what do they do? And so the energy, again, very funky, weird, you know, kind of wiggling all over the place, wiggly, wiggly, wiggly. Not almost like you have macular degeneration where the lines are not clear. Not clear lines, no fire, can't see it, lot of water. When you put something in water, you have a distortion, right? We've snorkeled or scuba dived and taken pictures with your camera, and the fish look so close, and then the pictures come out and they're like way far away because you were distorted. They looked like they were right in your face, and they weren't. If you've worn 3D eyeglasses, same idea. 3D eyeglasses, you're sitting there wanting to grab the orange that's in front of you. It's not there. It's an optical illusion. So the optical illusion of the heavens is to trick us, to trigger our paranoia. And as it triggers our paranoia or our worry, for us to go, wow. Now, it's not to say there's nothing to worry about. It's just to say, can you do anything about it? Can you clarify the matter? Can you, what would help this be better, right? Those are the places to focus. And then also clarifying, because people don't have words right now. Mercury's in a water sign. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It doesn't have a word. So giving it words, very helpful. Venus is catching up with the nodes, so there's important connections that would have taken place last Thursday. Who'd you meet? Did you get a job offer? Did you get somebody talking to you and saying, hey, how about we do this? We also had the Sun in a sextile to Jupiter, which is an annual aspect. The Sun is in Pisces. It's in a closing sextile, which is distributive. So last year when the Sun met up with Taurus Jupiter and said, okay, let's go, now he's in a closing aspect and he is distributing. And when we get to April 21st, you're going to start a new big cycle because Jupiter and Uranus are going to meet right around the time that the Sun is there. And we're going to really see a whole new adventure taking place, right? We also have Venus in a square to Uranus. That was on Sunday. So that was kind of unexpected news, changes in relationships, and aha. In my case, I have company visiting, and we went out for dinner, and I came home, and I had a cocktail, and I went, I don't do podcasts when I've had a drink, but I was really in a good mood. So the energy of Venus square Uranus is figuring out like how we're going to take action, hanging out with friends, hanging out and doing fun things. That's all kind of part of her story there. Then we get into this week. On Monday, we had Mercury in a sextile to Uranus. Unexpected communications, unexpected changes in communications, learning things in a different way. So Mercury sextile Uranus. Now this whole week is Mercury, 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 because he's going along and he's talking to all the planets at the late degrees. and he's having a chat. So Mercury is very communicative, but he's also in Pisces. So he's gathering the data and he's having his feelings and he's figuring it out, but he isn't necessarily verbalizing it, which is helpful. So that gives us a little bit of help in illumination. Now we have a moon in a fire sign for this. So we have a little fire in the sky with Mercury in its sextile to Uranus. Then we go to Mercury joining up with Neptune. Now this is an aha moment. This happens on Friday. Mercury, Neptune dissolves things. Neptune dissolves things. Mercury on him can make things very paranoid, can make us very paranoid, can make the world feel very paranoid. And that's part of the energy of the sky right now, is it's got a real kick of paranoia. I've had people calling me and telling me very strange things, and I just kind of go, okay, what's the paranoia there? You know, and one of my friends has a dog washing business that she goes and she washes dogs, you know, in a relatively conservative part of the state. And she has this client, and every time she talks to him, she calls me up and she dumps all the stuff he says to her on me. And it pisses me off, right? And so, you know, it's that kind of energy. It's very big energy transference time with this Mercury-Neptune. And we're going to feel it. You know, someone has something and you're kind of like, why am I feeling so overwhelmed with feeling? It's Mercury Neptune. I'm flooded. This is a flooding aspect. Again, no fire in the sky. So there's nothing in there to dry out the wet. But there's lots of fantasy feelings. Mercury Neptune is a little bit like you ever had a gerbil or a mouse. And they had that little wheel, and they would go and run on that wheel all night long. Your brain can be doing this. Go to bed. Go for a walk. Go for a swim. Do something rhythmic. Put on music and dance. Start singing, because when you're singing out loud to yourself, you can't be paranoid. I learned that from my friend Barbara Gordon Smith, and she was like, she was Libra. She goes, when I talk to myself, or I sing to myself, I'm better because I'm talking to myself and singing to myself and I'm singing a song and I'm not thinking my thoughts. So sing a song, Mercury Neptune. Pay attention to those emotional feelings and how you're inspired or swamped by them, right? Mercury Neptune conjunction. That is happening on Friday. Then we get into the big fight. Now, all week, Mars has been squaring Uranus. So we are breaking with people. We just had Kamala Harris make a big speech on the day of the march. I'm blanking on the bridge. The Edmund Pettus Bridge March was 59 years ago. And basically, you know, she kind of said, hey, we got to take care of the people in Gaza. We got to do humanitarian aid. We have to open the sea lanes. We have to open the ports. It was a direct, not that we're not friends, but we're not supporting you doing this. There's a lot of energy with Mars square Uranus about knowing you have to draw a line in the sand. It also is a rupture energy. It breaks things apart. A rupture happening as the progressed Sun is right on the Neptune-Saturn midpoint, and the new moon is going to be on that too. So there's a rupture in the energy. There's a wrinkle in time. There's a, you know, and they would have that space-time continuum and you could sneak through. In the Barbie movie, you know, when she broke through into mainland and they had to get her back in the box kind of thing. This is a rupture in time energy with this Mars Uranus square. It is physically a rupture. It is also unexpected accidents. So please be careful driving the next few days before that Mars Uranus takes place. This is really good on the slip and falls. This is Mars is in the sign of ankles. Uranus is in the sign of necks. So you don't want either of those to have an accident. The Sun is sextile to Uranus. That is on Saturday. Again, an annual aspect, but it was right after the Mars Uranus hits. So this is a story. I remember a friend of mine was married to someone who had gone to ride on one of those mechanical bulls, and he broke his neck on the bull. Well, he fell off the bull and he broke his neck, and he woke up the next day paralyzed. And this is that Sun is illuminating the break. And so that's going to happen on Saturday. It's a hard week, as I mentioned. It's a hard week. So Sun Uranus illuminates the break and helps you see it in a way. Then Mercury enters Aries. Mercury's on a world point when he enters Aries. He is on the fixed star shit, people say it different ways, which is very much about acknowledging what's going on. Mercury in Aries is very primal, very direct, very straightforward. Whatever he's announcing, pay attention, because we're going to be dealing with it big time in the next few years when Saturn goes into Aries and Neptune goes into Aries. And Saturn and Neptune are meeting at zero Aries in February of 2026. And so Mercury on this world point, as we have these ruptures, you know, we all are a little nervous about what's going to happen in the world. At least I am. Not everybody is, but I'm nervous. So I'm going to really be paying attention to what news Mercury gives us on Saturday when he enters Aries. And he says, I've been lurking behind the scenes. Now I'm coming in from the cold. And interestingly, I just got a spy book. I was at coffee today, and last week one of the guys was talking to me about this Ken Follett book called Never. And I'm trying to do more work-life balance. When I was younger, I used to spend a day, a week, a weekend in a chair reading Stephen King books after bad weeks at work. I'm a Pisces moon, so I hide when I just take a weekend in the chair. I'd get up to go to the bathroom and get food. So he was telling me about the Ken Follett. I'm like, ooh, I loved Ken Follett. So this week I got the book. And it's Mercury, and of course Ken Follett writes spy movies, right? Spy books. So Mercury is in the sign of Pisces. He's the sign of the spy. Go watch Allied, the movie with Brad Pitt, where he's a spy in World War II. And he marries someone, and is she a spy or is she not? This is Mercury coming in from the cold. This is that news like my friend Bob got. Well, I only married you because my father hated you. And that was it. He was done. He was done. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be done. And you're going to be like, I'm done. It's like, okay, you're done. I got it. What are you going to do next? Well, you don't even ask them what they're going to do next. Let them be done. But it's also the spy that came in from the cold. Because Mercury, of course, has been rolling through all the Neptune, the Pisces planets, aspecting everybody. And he's taking a little from here, and he's taking a little from there, and he's taking a little from the other place, and he's putting it all together, and he's going, see? See? And you're going to go, I do see. Wow. Boy, that's a little, I had never seen that before. It's altering how you see things forever based on whatever is said. Don't worry about it. You're supposed to have it altered. A couple years ago, when we were doing Black Lives Matter, we were going through watching someone get killed in front of our eyes. There was, and I'm blanking on the author's name. This is a bad part about getting older. I'm blanking on the author's name, but she wrote a book. The article was my skin is the color of rape. And I went, wow, because she was a light-skinned black woman, which meant that there had been as enslaved family members. The slave owners, the slave had raped her, and that's why she wasn't a dark-skinned black. And I'd never thought of it that way before, and it really sat with me for a very long time, and it kind of continues to startle me when I think about it. It's just a way of looking at the world. Not the way I look at the world, but I went, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. So watch for illumination with Mercury in Aries. Watch for something like that that's a little shocking. And you go, wow, huh, yeah, I get it. That's what's happening. This is for you to get it. And for you to have the confusion shift, have the confusion dial down a bit. Doesn't mean you're done dealing with it, but you have an aha moment. I was talking to my brother-in-law, and my sister has dementia. And so they had friends visiting who they had hung out with Germany. And, you know, Bruce was saying, you know, how much fun he had with them and whatever. And then he said, you know, Barb was the one that first pointed out Mary's problem to me. And Mary was having some mental problems. And my sister had a lot of head trauma. So she has the dementia that Bruce Willis has, and apparently now that Wendy Williams has, that frontal temporal dementia. And Barb pointed it out to me. And I'm like, oh, and I, you know, in my mind, you always remember your first, you know, the first time you had an astrology reading, the first time you read a book that just changed your life. And that was Barb's job, was to change Bruce's understanding of his wife's condition, my sister's condition. She pointed it out to him. That's what's happening with Mercury going into Aries. You're going to have something pointed out to you. Pay attention to it. And don't feel paranoid about it. Saturn's at the last degree of Pisces. You're doing the best you can. But now you have to see it in a different way, because Saturn is at that last degree of Pisces, and or at a part of Pisces that he hasn't been in 29 years, not the last degree. But Neptune's towards the last degree. You know, this is reality. You're going to have to work with it. But you're figuring it out. You're having that, oh, wow, I get it moment. Next up, we have the new moon, which is in the morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. it looks like, in the morning on Sunday morning. I'm having a new moon webinar Wednesday night. Feel free to pop in. If you can't come in Wednesday night, it'll be available for sales. The new moon is on Sunday, and it is in Pisces, so it's important to be in the aha moment of it. Notice over here, Saturn is at 11, Neptune is at 27. That adds up to 38. Divided in half, that gets you 38 divided in half, 2 into 3, 2 into 18, gets you 19. The new moon's right on that sun-moon midpoint. It is the weakest part of your body. When you die, you know, hopefully you don't die anytime soon, but when you die, a lot of times that point's activated because the body fails. I had a friend who had it, dropped dead of an aneurysm. He had Uranus on the stationing on the sun-moon, the Saturn-Neptune midpoint. It's a health point. I always look at it when I do readings. Somebody got a planet coming to it because it's like a little hidden trigger in your chart, a little hidden okay. So with the sun and moon on Saturn-Neptune, something's failing, something's leaving, something's done. And with all these aspects, with the Mars-Uranus square, with the Venus-Uranus, with Mercury on a world point, going to be public, we're going to hear about it. Pallas Athena is a strategy. She's also on a world point. So there's a very strong intentional energy with this new moon, and it's sudden, unexpected changes around the foundations of the world, our life, purpose, whatever. You know, think of it that way. When we look at the Arabic parts, we have Neptune on the part of catastrophe. Never liking that. Back to that fish tank that, I think it was Berlin, that blew up in Berlin. And just cracked. It was this huge fish tank in like a hotel lobby or something that people would go to see. It's that kind of energy. We also have a lot of energy around working in ways to increase things. So it is a new moon in Pisces. It is encouraging us to increase. We are heading into the eclipse season with this new moon. And so this is kind of, whatever this story is going to herald our journey in the new moon. As mentioned before, Mercury's on the fixed star shit, which gives us an ability to see things. It is the astrologer's star. So Mercury on that star, used to be late Pisces, but things move. That Mercury encourages us to kind of work with it and understand what we're seeing and why we're seeing it. And we still have Pluto on Altar, which is the eagle. You know, the eagle's been very prominent with Venus and Mars and now Pluto on it, going through it, activating it. Of course, the eagle is the bird for America. The eclipses that we're having in 4 weeks are across our country, coming in through the border of Texas. We just had the Supreme Court. I believe that Alito stayed the order that Texas was going to start enforcing, if I remember reading it correctly. So that's kind of probably part of it. And this eclipse runs through Texas. And when we had the last one, which was the summer of 17, that one ran in from Seattle through South Carolina. So COVID came in. First death in South Carolina was someone who'd gone to Washington for Christmas, brought it home to South Carolina. This eclipse starts and comes through Texas and runs across that fault line in the middle of the Mississippi River, whose name I'm blanking on, it begins with a G, and runs up through Cincinnati, through Vermont, and out. So it's a big eclipse. You're going to be hearing a lot about it. If you live in one of the towns, it's over. The hotels are already sold out. But yeah, it's a biggie. And then next, we also have the Saturn on Orpheus and the nodes on Eurydice. Now, if you know their myth, Eurydice got bitten on her wedding and died, and Orpheus went into the underworld to try and get her back. And then he didn't follow the instructions and he lost her forever. Again, this is the, these are the aspects on the eclipse. So there's a wedding, there's a loss of a relationship here. Someone descending into the underworld and the sadness tied to it. Uranus is parallel Bacchus. I've heard so much about people slipping and picking up again, you know, sons, daughters, son-in-laws, spouses. You know, it's very big time for, okay, I'm really overwhelmed, I need a cocktail or I need some drugs. So please, please double down on your, if you are a former user of these substances and are in recovery, please double down on your recovery program to help you get through it. And again, the whole energy, remember, it's Mr. Rogers, watch for helpers, they're out there. Go find the helpers. Then last but not least, Mercury, after he goes into Aries, he sextiles Pluto. And that happens on Sunday. And again, this is a communication aspect. So Mercury starts to talk to Pluto about what the plans are. Now remember, he's been talking to everybody. And now he's talking to the big guy who's in air for the next 19 years in Aquarius, which is, what is our community work? What's our community service? How are we working with this? So there's a very strong energy here around that new beginning. And that's it for the week. We also have for sale the new intentions. We did migrate it to the Teachable platform, and I understand some people had problems with it. So Rose has been on it, fixing it. And hopefully we're up and rolling. We also have Cupful of Stars available for you. I do a 6 to 10 minute audio and you get a list of the aspects and you get usually a song. You can sign up on Patreon for $17 a month. And then just a little quickie on Fonnie Willis and the Georgia case, which I prepared for last week. So the dates are from then, but it also gives us an overview. We don't have a timed energy for the indictment for Trump. And so when I pulled this chart, you know, I always do my Arabic parts, and I went, oh, this chart has some problems. It was, the indictment happened when Venus was retrograde at 19 and 20 of Leo, right after the Venus-Sun conjunction. It has a quincunx between the Moon and Saturn. Saturn's on the ascendant, which does give it some problems around things going smoothly. Jupiter was nicely placed. It was on a world point. It ruled the energy. But when we look at the Arabic parts for the indictment, we see the Moon on the profession. Well, Fonnie is a lawyer like her dad was, and she used to work with him. As a kid, she would go into court and was drafting papers when she was a little girl. We see the Sun on the father. Well, he showed up at court. We see the Sun on the part of sudden advancement moving forward. He was very prominent working on freedom causes for black people, including in South Africa. We see Mercury on the part of fatality. That's never a good one for a lawsuit. Mercury rules the seventh house. And Mercury is, of course, in Virgo at 18 degrees. That's a very popular degree in the United States. That's the degree the Pentagon was laid on. That's the degree of the day that 9/11 happened. That's a degree that the Masons use a lot when they were setting up the government in Washington in the constellation of Virgo. So Mercury on the part of fatality, not good. Not good. And I was like, don't like that. Venus on the part of danger or peril. Well, Venus is in Leo, conjunct to the Sun in the sixth house. Employees. Was there a woman employee that was problematic, retrograde, returning? So, you know, so a lot of times when a chart gets pulled, you look at the dates and you go, huh, interesting. Venus on danger or peril, Mercury on the part of words, cell phone tower records, all those things. Sun, the father, you know, that the, you know, the energy of the work that she learned as an early child. And then we also, of course, have Jupiter on the part of private enemies. And we have Juno on the part of imprisonment, which we all learned about her imprisonment due to doing this trial. And even that the governor, the former governor, Roy Bourne, did not want to do it because he did not want the death threats and he did not want to live, you know, surrounded by security in his last years. We also look at the fixed stars for it. And they speak to the story too, particularly Saturn parallels Spica, which is a relationship energy in there, and Vesta on Bellatrix, the home and the hearth, and seeing things around the home. You know, cell phone tower records is all I could think of when I saw that. You know, because I pulled it, and I'm like, all right, what's going on with her? We don't have a time for Fawny. She was born October 27th, 1971 in Washington. I gave her a noon chart, which gives the moon halfway through. Notice that the girl is on the, you know, the eclipses are in Leo, and the north node is... The eclipse, the south node is in Leo, and the north node is in the second. She has a mystic rectangle, so she has a path deemed by fate to follow. She has that lovely grand trine in fire, fiery, passionate energy. And we also see another grand trine in air, which is a Gemini and grand trine. That forms a Star of David, a little misshapen, but you can see it in there. Again, a faded chart. Saturn in Gemini opposite to Jupiter is the bad news is this, the good news is that. So we're going to watch her chart as time goes on. If we look at her transits to it, we see that the Venus is, when she had the hearing, the Venus was right on that north node. She's about to have her Mars return. So we're going to watch that Mars return, because that's, you know, Mars return marks the end of what you've been working on for the last 2 years and what you're going to be working on now. And we see that Uranus is up there receiving the south node. The south node in Libra is on her Uranus, and the north node is in her third house. Most importantly, those eclipses that are coming, they are at 19 Aries Libra. And so with the solar chart, the eclipse is right on her foundation. The full moon eclipse that happens on the at the end of the month is tied to her energy in terms of bringing stories forward from Virgo time of 2022. So there's, you know, there's she's got some really tough transits, and you know, we'll keep an eye on it as we go forward. These are her progressions. Notice her progressions. Moon's in Capricorn, which is helpful. You know, because, you know, she digs in and she's not planning on leaving. But we also see a lot of energy with Neptune, with Pluto aspecting Neptune and the community. And we also see her progressed ascendant. It's at the very last degrees of Aquarius, about to go into Pisces, which will happen in about 7 months with the solar chart. Now, remember, solar charts are really helpful. This is all of your sun sign column stuff is solar charts. All right. Then last but not least, the energy of the week, which is the sun is going from 14 Pisces to 19 Pisces, almost 20, and it has an aspect, a flowing aspect to the nodes of fate on March 5th, and that sextile to Uranus on the 9th. Mercury's super busy this week, running from 17 Pisces to 2 Aries. That's, you know, he's going 14 degrees, which is about 2 degrees a day. He be flying. And he has the aspects to the nodes. He had the aspect to Uranus. He has the aspect to Venus. He has the aspect to Eris. He has the aspect to Neptune. He has the aspect to Jupiter. He has the aspect to Pluto. And he goes into Aries. So Mercury communication, super strong. And every time you get that little, that little niggly feeling in your left side where you're like, something's up, I don't know what it is, make a note of it. You'll find out later. Kind of like I made a note of Fonny's chart, right? I'm like, oh, I don't like this chart, but I don't know how it's going to unfold yet. And now we're getting the story. Venus this week goes from 19 Aquarius to 27.5. She is only got that square to Uranus at the beginning of the week, and she's kind of quiet. She does have a little bit of a dream destruction energy on the 9th, but I think that's more Mars too. Whatever that Mars Uranus thing is going to do. That's that. We have Mars aspecting the nodes of fate on March 4th. He has a sextile to Chiron on the 8th, on the 6th, and he has that square to Uranus on the 9th at 5:55 p.m. Now remember, Mars aspects happen before he gets there. So that's talking, we're talking Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So even though this is coming out a little late, I was like, I got to do it because this week's got a lot of stuff in it. And we also have Jupiter trining Juno, which is very nice for, you know, finding new alliances, looking for helpers, looking for people that can help you do things. When we look at the moons for the week, the week of March 4th, yeah, okay. So the moon was in Sag. It went void at 10:41 yesterday, Monday, and was void all day going into Capricorn, where it is out of bounds. It's in Capricorn Monday. It's in Capricorn Tuesday today. It'll go void tomorrow afternoon at 2:35 p.m., and then it'll be void until 7:38 on the 6th when it goes into Aquarius, and that will be when we start the new moon webinar tomorrow, the 6th. The moon goes void in Capricorn with a sextile to Neptune, again working on the dream energy and helping it step forward. Moon's in Aquarius Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday till 1:56 p.m., and then it goes void until it enters Pisces at 8:03. Moon goes void at 1:51 with a conjunction to Mars. Again, we're seeing a lot of activity the 9th, the 8th and the 9th as we're getting ready for that Mars-Uranus square. Watch for the cracks. Watch for the collapse. Mercury meets Neptune on the 8th, right? So we've got a lot of intense energy. Mercury goes into Pisces the 8th, and then it's in there on the 9th. It's in there on the 10th. We have the new moon. We also have Ramadan beginning. We also have daylight savings time. Mercury's going into Aries on the evening of the 9th, and when the moon is in Pisces, the closing aspect is a conjunction to Neptune, right? Again, dreamy, but also very dissolving of things. The intense days this week are Friday and Saturday. So just, you know, buckle up, buttercup, it's coming. Sunday, we kind of see things. It's the new moon, bright and early in the morning at 5. At 20 degrees Pisces, and the moon is void at 3:45 that afternoon with a conjunction to Neptune, and enters into Aries at 8:19 p.m. and the Aries aspect goes void with a sextile to Mars in Aquarius on the 12th. So the closing aspects are all good, so that's always helpful. The planetary fighting is a little difficult, especially Thursday, Friday, Saturday, more like Thursday night. And then we go to Ramadan, which is the fasting time, and you know, we have heard rumors that the Bush administration is, or not the Bush administration, the Biden administration is pushing Israel to, you know, do a ceasefire for Ramadan, which is a 40-day festival of, it's a holy time, similar to our Lent, Catholic Christian Lent. And Venus goes into Pisces on the 11th. So she gets out of Aquarius where she's being detached, and she enters into a more compassionate sign. So that's the energy. That's the weekly weather. Hopefully that gives you some ideas about how to work with this energy in a productive way. And we're off to new lands in terms of what's happening and where you're going. And a lot going on. So just remember to breathe, get lots of sleep, drink lots of water, do Neptunian things that are positive. That'll help you get through this week. It's pretty intense. And then it's eclipse season, which is also intense. And I know you want the intensity to abate a little bit. So do I. But not yet. You're a child of the universe. It's unfolding as we speak. You're right where you're supposed to be. Stay as conscious as possible. Make good choices. And be careful out there. It's a wild world. Bye.